in order to meet these standards. That as they operate today, possibly with the exception of what's called an afterburner to destroy carbon monoxide, CO, but with that possible exception, which is not cutting-edge technology in any way, it's very, very demonstrated technology. With that possible exception, the incinerators can and do meet all of the current standards for new sources as they're currently configured. So there it does not appear that there needs to be an investment in any type of new technologies or cutting-edge technologies or undemonstrated technologies in order to meet those standards.
Yeah, thanks.
Question. Further questions?
I have a question, Commissioner Torres here.
Yes, Commissioner Torres, go ahead.
Yeah, as we look forward into the future and the possibility of working with the PFAS, is there a juncture somewhere between the new standards and what may be required if we go into a burning of the PFAS?
This is Scott.
Scott, that's for you.
We don't actually know what the standards are. Go ahead. Answer it, Scott.
Thank you. And really highlight some of the positive things that Jeff had mentioned. This really started in 2010. The DEP, as Jeff mentioned, were implemented by rule. And at the time in 2010, we were told by the regulators that we really needed to implement mercury controls, which could have cost us upwards of $15 million at the time. And with Jeff's help, and NACLA's help, we fought back as an organization, meaning as a NACLA organization, to really challenge the regulators as to whether or not these limits were practical. Now, during the time frame from 2010 to now, Tom Tyler, Director of Facilities, has actually taken, think about this, old standard for our three incinerators, which were upgraded in 2013. For carbon monoxide, CO, was 38 parts per trillion. The new standard is 52. So Tom Tyler and his staff, MDC staff, we talked about how much we spent. We spent about $600,000 between legal and engineering.
Was that $600,000?
Yeah. We have actually we are actually now meeting the new standard that EPA has set for the country with existing incinerators, so not 3,800, 52. We are meeting that standard simply by engineering efforts on Tom Tyler and his staff's part. And the challenge that we have with EPA is making sure they're expecting real time. They're expecting every 15 minutes we can prove that we're not exceeding these limits. So that's why, although we have brought in since 2010, we have brought three existing incinerators to a new standard developed by EPA for the SSI rule in 2014. Down to two of the three have actually met and are below the 52 parts. For CO. That's with a lot of hard work. But what we have been able to do is to say we can meet it, but we have to make sure we meet it every minute of the day. So that's where the technology, as Jeff said, this is not new technology. This is just monitoring, and this is procedural issues of the way in which we run the infrastructure to make sure that we can meet those limits on a 15-minute, 24-hour cycle every day of the year. So although we may have spent $600,000 really since 2010, this money has been spent with other engineering firms and legal support by Jeff over really a number of years. This has saved the MDC spending $15 to $20 million on mercury, which now we know we don't have a problem with. It's actually CO, not mercury. So if we would have spent this money in 2010 blindly, we would actually have had to rip out and waste money, eight towns money on debt service for equipment we didn't need. Unfortunately, we spent really since 2016 fighting this battle with EPA and with Jeff's help. And the way that EPA looks at it is, once we have considered some point, we will see they're really ignoring the fact
that you're breaking up.
We were right. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead. You're
Bill.
John?
Can you hear me, Bill?
Scott. Scott, do you have your Wi-Fi on the iPad? It may be better to turn off the Wi-Fi and just rely on the cell service.
I do not have it on Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Is that better? Yeah. I'm done anyway.
I just have a question here, Scott. You said the 15-minute cycle. Is that the period of time they allow you to get up to meet the standard and run the facility?
No, Mr. Chairman, they're just looking for real-time data. And they want to know that the EPA wants to, that we're complying with this on a minute-by-minute basis rather than a annual basis. And the way in which we do that is to make sure we have the proper equipment in place to give the alerts and the procedural protocols for staff to follow. So my only point is we are meeting the standard with two of the units, even though we haven't spent any significant capital investment. And that's all due to the ingenuity and the hard work from the engineering department and from this. And those are facts. And the reality is we're going to need some additional capital investment. I think Tom Tyler has said a maximum of $5 to $10 million for all three units to make sure that we can comply on a minute by minute, 15 by 15 minute, hour by hour, 24-hour cycle, so that we don't have any violations. We don't want any violations. Because obviously we'll be adding a file.
Scott, over that period of time, what's the revenue stream expansion on those three incinerators? I think what's going back to what, 2015?
Yeah, actually 2008, Mr. Chairman. In 2008, we were told mercury was the problem, and we bought state. And they did not want us, there was a lot of pressure from regulators for us not to take out of sludge because of mercury limits. And the reality is the mercury limit set by the federal government, not by the state of Connecticut. So there was no real reason for us to not take sludge out of, or not take out of state sludge. In 2008, we were making about $2.5 to $3 million a year in sludge revenue. That money goes directly to reduce ad valorem dollar for dollar. Given the fact that we have improved it, so now we have three incinerators available. Only two can operate at one time because of permit. But it allows us to maximize the heat recovery system, which is producing about a $1.7 to $2 million of revenue a year. We have taken the sludge revenue from $3 million to $7 million. And again, we've built the revenue stream with the incinerators. And to Commissioner Torres's point, we don't know this, but the only factual data we have at this point is from DEEP itself, which has said that PFAS can be destroyed through temperatures of 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit. There is no fact behind that. There's only a statement from DEEP, but we know that, ironically, the SSI rule, as I mentioned at BPW and at the finance department, the SSI rule was actually intended to discourage incineration. A lot of incinerators, province Wastewater Authority
offline.
NDC actually mothballed their incinerator because of the SSI. And so there was an encouragement to get rid of incineration because of air emissions. And now they're finding, EPA and the state is finding, that incineration may be the savior to the PFAS issue. But the PFAS issue is a long road. There's a lot of technical details that do not exist, and EPA is in a state of working on those details.
Are there further questions?
Follow-up question to you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Again, I'm thinking ahead in terms of a strategic plan as to how, you know, those incinerators are going to be managed to be able to take on PFAS if we do that. And having no regulations out there, it's too early, I guess, for them to have those. Do we know potentially, or can we find out what potential contaminants may be added to the incineration that could adversely affect, you know, the CO2 or mercury or whatever it is? You know, what is it that could potentially be added to the contaminants that might put us out of compliance?
PFAS is not regulated. It's not part of our NEPTES permit, so therefore there's no regulator in the world that can cause us any harm as it relates to PFAS, because the regulators don't regulate it. I mentioned this before, but in February of 2020, before the pandemic, I was in a meeting in Boston with EPA, with all of the regional water authorities in New England, and they had told us they're not going to make any decisions on PFAS for the next 5 years because there is so much unknown about it. It's been called a forever compound, and there's no way. It's in pizza boxes. It's in everything you have used for the last 100 years. So the regulators are very concerned about taking a position on this issue. There's no way that they can implement any kind of implementation of PFAS compounds in our permits, because it's not regulated. They would have to regulate it first. As I talked about in our discussions with DEEP and the landfill, we made it very clear that any issues associated with PFAS would have to be excluded as part of the agreement, and then have to be addressed at a later date. We cannot force the MDC to include PFAS in those negotiations with the landfill. So unfortunately right now we are doing everything we're required to, and it'll be based on, if we can believe EPA, it'll be at least 5 years before any regulations dictated down to the states on PFAS.
Further questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Vecino.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
This matter was in front of us last week, and after executive session and many objective questions, we came out and it was voted unanimously in favor of the consent decree.
Okay. Finance, Commissioner Salemi?
Yeah, I'm sorry, say that again.
Yeah, there was a report from finance too, wasn't there, Commissioner Salemi?
Yeah, I think that was a unanimous vote out of finance, and we didn't. That was, you're talking about last week, right?
Right, last week.
Yeah. Unanimous.
Okay. Further questions?
I don't think there was much discussion on it, to tell you the truth. We had the same report that we just heard.
Okay. Further questions? If not, is there a motion, John, on this? We have to vote this or just receive it?
Correct. We need somebody to move the resolution.
Is there a motion to adopt?
We'll move, Mr. Chairman.
moved and seconded to accept the consent decree. With no further discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Good job, guys. Okay, item number 7, Personnel Pension and Insurance Committee consideration and potential action regarding a settlement of workers' compensation claim, Goodwin 2021, and B, settlement of pending litigation on Shekek versus MDC. Are you going to say, John, can we take these up together, or we have to do them separately, right?
If we're moving to executive session, I think it can be a combined executive session, and they're unrelated claims, but you could consolidate them on a vote if you so chose.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, we consolidated these at the PP&I level and considered them in one session. So unless anyone has objections, I would suggest that we do the same thing here.
Okay. Is there an objection to combining A and B? Being there no objection, they'll stay in combined. Obviously, we'll take them up one at a time in terms of the understanding what we're settling here. Is there a need for an executive session, Counselor?
Yeah, we have the executive session materials ready to go, right, John? The call-in? Yes, that was sent to commissioners at 2:30 today. Okay. They won't be that long, Mr. Chairman, but in the abundance of caution, I would recommend a session.
You're recommending an executive session?
I am, as of pending claims, both of them.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
I
move that we go into executive session, and at the suggestion or the recommendation of the chairman and council, those people who are, they should indicate the people to be incorporated into the executive session.
Okay, is a motion. Is there a discussion? If not, all those in favor of the executive session, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Chris, could you give us the individuals who will be, other than commissioners, that will be in the executive session?
Sure. From HR, Olga and Jamie, John Myrtle from the district clerk's office. It's Kelly Shane, Chris Levesque, Scott Jellison, and that's it.
And Bob Zeich, Chris.
Oh, Bob Zeich. I didn't know he was there. Sorry, Bob. I thought you retired already, Bob.
Okay. To the John Myrtle, how do we do this now? Do we have to go into another? I'm talking about what's the technical aspect of doing it on our pads.
Good question.
Yep. You had the email. The link was emailed out to you at 2:25 today. You can mute yourself on this meeting. I will be muting everybody in this meeting as well. But you can click on the link and it should open up the executive session as well.
Where is that link? Did you say
it was emailed at 2:25 today?
So where was it emailed to?
Is your MPC email account? So if it was auto forwarded, it would have been forwarded.
The last thing I have is from Nick Salemi at 10:39 this morning.
All right, I will email it to you.
John, I don't know if I have it either.
I'll forward it to you too, Mr. Chairman.
Should we go into it now?
Yeah, we can go into it.
We need the vote on executive session.
I think we voted on it.
Did we vote? Okay.
Yes. I'm just trying to make sure that I have it.
So we should mute.
No, he's going to mute us. You're going to mute us all, right, John? Here we go. Executive session. So it would be, how do we get that on these if it's on our
minimize your screen. and then you can go back to your email, and then you can pick up your E230. Minimize, mute, and then minimize your screen and go back to your email and pick up John's email at 230.
Okay, let me find my...
of the executive session, signify by saying aye.
By saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're back in regular session. There is, before us is combined item here, A and B, and there is an amendment of Mr. Curry's amendment. Would you, Chris, please articulate that amendment?
Sure. If this is on
on settlement pending litigation B. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, this is, I believe the item in question has to do with the William Goodwin matter, which is 7A. And the resolved portion of the resolution would read as follows, you know, subject to Commissioner Curry's edits, that pursuant to section B2F of the bylaws of the Metropolitan District, the Board of Commissioners of the Metropolitan District hereby authorizes District Counsel or his designee to execute any and all documents necessary to effect full and final settlement of all existing and future indemnity and medical claims for Richard Goodwin in the amount of $24,900, subject to the final approval of the Workers' Compensation Commissioner.
Okay. There was a motion to adopt, so this is a motion to amend. The motion to amend is before you. John, we made a motion to before we went in was to adopt. I believe it was to join. It wasn't to adopt.
Correct.
So I got to back that up. Is there a motion to adopt the combined A and B settlements?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Okay. And there's a motion by Commissioner Curry. That was articulated by our chief legal officer. Is there a motion to adopt the amendment?
So moved.
So moved.
Okay. Before us is the amendment as articulated by Attorney Stone. Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, the amendment has been incorporated into settlement of pending litigation B, and they are joined together, so the joined together motions have been amended. Is there any further discussion? If not,
Mr. Chairman, the amendment was to 7A.
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 Yeah.
But the two settlements are in 7A, right? They were combined, and now they've been amended. The amendment was to settlement B, and that amendment has been adopted and combined into A and B, which was in item number 7. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion stands adopted. Item 8, opportunity for general public comment. Item 9, commissioners' comments and questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Commissioner Avedisian. I think I've got a question, I believe, for Scott. Scott, you had mentioned an issue we had with the tunnel boring machine and some issues with the cement and the water and so forth. Can you give us an update on what's going on with that?
Yes. I got a a full update to the BPW presentation. We're about just under 15,000 lineal feet of the 21,000 feet. We're about 81% paid on the project. We've got about 18 months left. We are going through a DRB process, which is a dispute resolution board, which was anticipated and approved by both the MDC and the contractor. This is a standard protocol resolving issues rather than court in tunneling projects. So I would like to, we have and did a resolution board 2 weeks ago, Tuesday and Wednesday of 2 weeks. John, what was the dates on those? Is it the 14th and the 15th?
BPW is Wednesday, June 9th.
Yeah, sorry.
April 20th
and the 7th. Okay.
April 20th.
So the process for DRB is that we actually present our issues to the DRB. It's almost like literally like court without attorneys. No disparage to Chris Stone or John Murrow or any of the attorneys. It's really a presentation of the MDC, the owner's position versus the contractor position. We are in the middle of that process, so I've got a conference call with the DRB on Thursday of, I think it's May 6th, which is next Thursday, I believe, right? Or is it this for Thursday? This Thursday, to talk to them about next steps. So I'll have more to present to you regarding this topic at the next BPW meeting. I did download Commissioner Vecino on the issues, but I would like to have a chance to present the details once we receive them to the BPW. I apologize for not probably answering your question, but it is litigation in a sense, and I hate to talk about too much of the details in the public forum.
Okay, Scott, my apologies for that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. No.
Is there further questions or comments? If not, the appropriate...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Gardo.
Yes, Commissioner.
Yeah, I understand there was... Glastonbury had a... at their town council meeting last week, or in the last couple of weeks, had a... their consultant came back with numbers. I read the information from Nick Select today. Is there any way to for the CEO to put this all together in one little package? So where we are right now, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So as you know, the MDC has spent a significant amount of time with our Water Bureau, Commissioner Sweezy, Dom Payne, Commissioner Payne, and our chairman, trying to support Glastonbury on this very specific issue as it relates to uranium. We provided lots of free engineering from our technical staff, Sue Negrelli, David, to really explain and guesstimate what the cost would be to address certain specific areas within Glastonbury. And I think we had about, about 35 plus or minus million dollars for improvements to those specific areas. The town went ahead and hired a consultant, Ty and Bond, to analyze the very same topics, very same areas that we've been talking about. And that consultant came back and said the same thing we did, except they thought that the cost estimate was more in the $45 million range. Now, things have changed dramatically during COVID. The prices of doing anything, as if you went to buy anything at any store, you know that the prices have almost doubled. But the concern is the problem hasn't gone away, and whether it's $35 million or $45 million, the number's only going to get larger. And this is really an internal political challenge for the town of Glastonbury as to whether or not they want to have public water or live with uranium. So I have not heard back from the town manager. He did indicate to me about 6 months ago that they were going through the process and going through the review of the proposal, but nothing has really changed since then, Mr. Curto.
This is Mary Lou Chance, if you wanted me to say anything on that. The estimate that the consultants came back with for it was around $33 million. The total of the 45 that you were talking about also included the Manchester area in town, Manchester Water area. It was just a preliminary start of the conversation within Glastonbury. So we do expect that it's going to take a bit longer. And it's a little tricky in town because we have the two different water sources. So more to come on that. But it continues to move forward.
Okay. Scott, could you talk to Mr. Johnson and see what the interest is and where they stand, because we did, that was a conversation that started about a year or so ago before the pandemic. So could you please contact Mr. Johnson and we can have that discussion.
Do that.
Further questions, comments? If not, next month we will see each other in real life and and move forward. The proper motion is
move to adjourn, Adel.
Without objection, we stand adjourned. Thank you.